Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And it's that special day, right?
It is. It's happy, happy Valentine's.
Valentine's Day. There are people listening to this program today, choosing from all of their array of perfumes, right? All the I strong memories of my mother's dressing table with all of these perfume bottles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Valentine's was a complicated day to try to decide exactly which potion was the
magical one.
Yeah, I thought they were all kind of noxious myself, but that was tough. I think Halston was what she wore most of the time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. My mom's a lot older than yours, so it was definitely not Halston. I remember L'Air de Thon.
I'm sure it was better.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There was a deep 1973 tone to my mother's perfume.
Yeah, I think my mom still had hers from the 60s sitting on that mirrored, beautiful little mirrored thing that it was on her dresser.
Had the little powder ball
women,
on the end there.
There were all kinds of magical special things happening with those perfume bottles.
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff you spray right in your little brother's ear. Happy Valentine's, Clark.
Poor Clark.
Exactly. That's no wonder he enjoyed military school so much with brothers like that. So besides those kinds of potions.
Mm-hmm. There's some other good potions.
We are meant to speak about other potions for Valentine's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Potions and preparations and passions.
Right.
Right.
Well,
that's a
lot. I have a passion for cooking. Big one.
You think?
I do. So it's I think that's one of the things about cooking is that it is a very sensual thing, actually, in the end, because it is all about the senses. Both eating and cooking is. You use all of them. It's actually in a professional way. It's one of the first things I tell my cooks is that you are about to heighten all of your senses because that's one of the greatest gifts that you have besides your hands when you're cooking. You know, one of your best tools are your hands and your ability to see, taste, smell, feel, you know, all of these things, these wonderful gifts that we have are what make us excellent cooks. And the more heightened those senses are, the better cook you are. And obviously the taste one is one of the most important, but we need all of them. We need our food to be beautiful and it needs to have a great texture and it needs to have many different textures and for it to be interesting and different tastes. And so all of these things come together. And I mean, it's funny because there's so many things about cooking that is a labor of love too. So, you know, there are a lot of things that in a serious statement.
Not in a cliche way.
Yeah,
literally.
Not being goofy, being quite serious.
I'm doing this because I'm doing this with a lot of care because I'm doing this to share it with you, person X, that I have, you know, many red candies for. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
The same way that, I mean, and it's not the same kind of labor of love as cooking for your child or your grandmother cooking for you when you're a child or something like that. So that's, to me, it's funny. One of the things about Valentine's Day, because it's such a big restaurant day as well, is that choice that people make. Do you want to entertain someone at home, at your collective home or at your place, or are you entertaining someone out? And, you know, how are you going to make that expression? You know, is it, what style choice are you going to make? If you're making something at home, is it this elaborate thing that you've worked on bits and pieces of all week long and have been setting a table for days and all this kind of thing?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's what's in your mind.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what I was thinking about. It's like there are many, obviously a million different approaches you could have when you're cooking for someone at home. But I kind of came up with two broad ones. One is the idea of doing a meal that's very, very elegant and beautiful, and the idea of doing a progressive picnic. which I think is a lot of fun. You know, a kind of, I think age differences and cultural differences are what are going to, you know, be the deciding factors on how you're going to handle this day.
So let's go to the you said a very elegant meal, so a very classical meal.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
And I don't think you want to eat a lot of food. So, but, and you know, a lot of things that I think of as that are can be very elegant can be a little bit rich. So I'm thinking actually three courses.
You would never cook something rich.
Uh-huh. So, yes, I would, actually. And with my love for French cooking, you know, and I was thinking a beautiful way to start would be with a shrimp bisque. And it's something that, you know, I'm trying to think of things that are accessible for people. And I am finishing with a course that is somewhat inaccessible, but, you know, you can't go to the regular grocery store and buy this, but you can certainly get it online. And that would be doing a beef Wellington for the last course. I think that the idea of cooking for two people is making the food for two. So having the last course be something that is portioned for two, that is sliced and shared, you know, and of course I think of that in the restaurant, but I think it would also be very nice in the home. You know, you
think
are,
about,
after all, cooking for two people.
So let's give people a really sound shrimp bisque recipe and a couple of garnish ideas, because
mm-hmm.
this should be the very achievable thing.
That's what I think.
The Wellington is marvelous and a dangerous thing.
Right. Well, I can give an alternative. I'll give an alternative to that.
I think
so
you should
it's sort
give,
of like,
should
what
give,
are you up
you
to?
Should give
you know?
The Wellington, because the Wellington's a big risk-reward dish.
Well, I'll give both. I'll give
but
two.
Let's have the shrimp bisque recipe
right.
first.
So the shrimp bisque, you know, you can go two ways. You can either just use the shells, and which means that you could have eaten the shrimp the day before for some other for your family or in another way. So you can either just make a shrimp stock or you can use the shrimp and or you can do both. that is what I'm going to tell you to do. So peel the shrimp and devein the shrimp. You do not want that vein in there. It's their digestive tract. So you're going to have sand and bits of undesirable things in that. That's why we take the vein out. So take all the shell off, devein the shrimp, just rinse it off quickly underneath the cold water. And I would buy a smaller shrimp, say even a 16, 20, and that's not that small of a shrimp, but I use U10s, U12s, which are the biggest shrimp you can buy typically.
By 16, 20, you mean a 16, 20 count per pound.
Right. So there are between 16 and 20 shrimp that make up a pound. So it denotes the size. And so take the shells and put them in a pot just covered with cold water, bring it up to a boil, turn it off and strain it. And the shrimp themselves, you can just leave them as they are now. And for two people, I would do probably 14 shrimp. So saute one small shallot, a small dice of one small shallot in butter, add, I would say, half of an onion in a small dice, add that to the pan, work it, do not get any color, just until it's nice and soft, and maybe just before it begins to color. You should be cooking it on medium heat in a nice stainless steel pot, because you're going to be making everything in one pot. So saute the shallots in butter, add your shrimp now. Have a little bit of flour ready to go, about a tablespoon, all-purpose flour. And when the shrimp are about halfway sautéed, add the flour to the pan. It's going to tighten up that little bit of butter that's still residual in the pan. And now you're going to make a choice. Do I want to add alcohol to this? If you don't, just add the shrimp stock.
Add the alcohol.
Yeah, well, I would, which I would do brandy or cognac, and I would add probably 2 to 3 ounces. You can choose to flame the pan, which means to ignite that alcohol and let it burn off, or to let it go, and that means you're going to have some residual alcohol in your soup. And then add, as I said, then you would add the shrimp stock and cream. And for two people, I would add 2 cups of cream. And
the shrimp stock is what you made with the shells.
Mm-hmm. And
that you strained off, and this should be pretty clear.
Yes. And it's not that, it won't be that much. I mean, you should only have about 4 ounces of shrimp stock. And that will, again, help to perfume and flavor the dish. And then I would add a pinch of cayenne pepper. You can choose to add a pinch of nutmeg. And and then let it all cook. And you want to let it simmer. Once it comes up to a boil, turn it down to a slow simmer and let it simmer on low heat for 30 minutes. You want to work that flour out of the soup, the flour flavor, the starch. You want everything to do its job. And you have to stir it pretty frequently or it will stick and scorch on the bottom of the pan. And that is the last thing you want. You certainly don't want it to burn. So let it go gently.
If you didn't cook the flour long enough, it tastes kind of gummy, doughy, right?
Right, right. And there's not that much. If you only put a tablespoon in, you're not going to have that much flour.
If you have cooked it enough, you'll actually notice the soup has thickened up. The liquid has actually thickened up a bit.
And it helps to make the soup silky. It gives the soup shine. That's what flour does. And obviously, it's a thickening agent. That's why you've added the flour. Not only to thicken the soup, particularly because you just added, 4 ounces of shrimp stock, which is water and has no consistency, and added cream, which is probably not quite thick enough for what you want. And the other thing about the soup is the reason I add the flour, and you can skip the flour if you have a gluten intolerance, and just reduce it down a little bit more and bring it to sauce soup consistency as you wish. So you can skip that step. But I'm going to strain out the shrimp. I'm not going to puree them into it. I'm not going to try to pass them through it. What I really dislike, the texture of the pureed shrimp, even if you blend the heck out of it in a fantastic blender, which would be a really high-powered blender, it just ruins the texture of the soup. So you're actually going to discard those shrimp. So when the soup is done, you're going to pass it through a fine strainer, what we would call a chinois or any kind of fine strainer that you have, and you're just going to discard anything that stays in the strainer. And now you're going to taste it, check it. You might want to add a little bit of freshly ground black pepper. Definitely check it for salt because we've not added any salt at this point. So this is the time to decide. Oh, it might need a pinch of salt. You may want it to have a tiny bit more alcohol, and you may want it to have a tiny bit more heat. It's up to you and your palate. If so, maybe add up just a tiny, tiny bit more of the cayenne. And that's the soup. And you can garnish it in many different ways. So we can talk about that.
It's funny. I think I was sad for a second about losing the shrimp. I was like, oh, what happened?
But the flavor is there, and you will like the texture so much more if you just discard them. They become mealy, weird, and a blender
mealy, strange. Weird.
Yeah, and we are talking
okay,
about
I'm
your
not making
senses.
Shrimp salad now either because it's
that's totally different. That is totally different. We've cooked
they're
these
not
shrimp.
Too mealy weird for a shrimp salad.
No, no. Oh, those shrimp?
Shrimp.
Yes. Oh no, they're not good for anything. No, okay. After they've cooked for 30, actually technically
they
probably
are dead.
40 minutes
they
at this
are dead.
Point.
Remove yeah. the shrimps.
Yeah, they're yeah. not. They need to go.
Okay.
They're
gone.
Yep,
out of the picture.
They're gone. Trash. Get rid of them.
Out of the picture.
You could garnish that soup, you could make a little cilantro cream for it. So creme fraiche with a little bit of finely chopped cilantro or pureed cilantro in it. You could add tarragon, freshly chopped tarragon. You could make a little oil with tarragon. You could add a little black bean relish as a garnish if that's something
nice,
that you enjoy.
Cool glass of Vouvray with it.
There you go. Yeah, we need to hear the wine part. So what are we drinking with it?
Well, it could be Vouvray either, sparkling or still. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be something that has pretty good acidity and a little bit of sweetness to it. But shrimp are always inherently a bit sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty natural, Chenin Blanc, the grape for Vouvray is a pretty natural match.
You want to buy a good shrimp to make this soup. I prefer a domestic shrimp, and unfortunately we can't get fresh shrimp, so it will be frozen. But you want to get something that you think smells good, looks good, and obviously is therefore going to taste good. So do be aware of that. I would use heavy cream. There's some local dairies. The better the cream, the better the soup. The better the shrimp, the better the soup. It's
as
the way
always,
it is with
the
everything you cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the more care you put into it, it really doesn't take that. I mean, as far as soups go, a soup could take an hour and a half to make. As far as soups goes, this probably is prep time from prep to finish, probably an hour or less. And you could certainly make it one day ahead.
That's a pretty reasonable holding soup, too.
Right. And let's say you're eating some oysters on the half shell.
Now you're speaking my language, all
so
right?
So you're standing in. I'm going to talk about the progressive
the shrimps
picnic
don't get
later.
Me too.
Yeah, don't I get mean, you too excited.
Shrimps are nice, and shrimp bisque. People should be able to make a good shrimp bisque. And it's warming, and I'd like a glass of Vouvray with it. But you say oysters in the half shell. And I just think, okay, what kind? How many different kinds? The only problem with oysters in the half shell on Valentine's Day is, are you prepared to shuck?
Sure. Well,
you know, are you a shucker?
Yeah. Well, you may want to
have
practice
a glove.
Right.
Well, yeah. And
this is not the day to cut your hand.
Yeah. Don't guzzle two glasses of really good champagne. You know, Bollinger,
Esli Oreille,
or something, or some great Blanc de Blanc that you've been saving for Valentine's Day. You finish half the bottle, and then I'm gonna open some oysters now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you just stab yourself.
That might
in the
be
hand.
The end of the romance. Yeah,
I'm certain the emergency room probably has the most amusing stories for Valentine's Day. I always think the restaurant has some amusing stories on Valentine's Day, but mostly it's very sweet.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Mostly
sure.
It's very, very sweet. And,
right.
But I'm sure that there are sweet but not so amusing stories, but you still want to hear them from the emergency room.
Yeah, I would suggest an oyster glove for sure, unless you're really good at it and you're not worried about it. And even then, I mean, we basically take a kitchen towel and wrap it around the center of our hand. Or you can do it with nothing on your hands. But a little glove, there's nothing wrong with it, and it will help to save you. And you do need to be careful because you're doing the ultimate thing that you should never do in a kitchen, which is, even though it's an oyster knife, you're pointing it towards yourself.
Driving a knife towards your hand.
Yeah, you always, anytime you're cooking, you always teach a cook to cut away from yourself, away from the body, away from your hand. But when you're doing an oyster, you have no choice. Or any time of shucking, you have no choice.
It takes force, and
it
you
does.
Have to. But you also want to save the oyster liquor. The the liquid that's in that shell, and
for
that's.
Sure.
I mean, making a little bit of mignonette or made recently a ginger mignonette for oysters that was just awesome. Just replaced it, did half shallot and half fresh ginger, and not the black pepper, and with the little bit of red wine vinegar and and chive, and that was just amazing. A couple little drops of that on the oysters.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about just very far back in history for me, when we had a restaurant where I did really only Southern food. I used to make a bourbon spiked cocktail sauce for oysters. And, you know, fresh cocktail sauce made, a little bit of horseradish, and you can either use fresh or you can use, we have some really great local producers of horseradish, prepared horseradish. So a little bit of prepared horseradish, ketchup, fresh lemon juice, and a little bit of bourbon. That's how I used to make cocktail sauce way back in the day.
Wouldn't it just be easy to make cocktail sauce and have the shots?
As you wish.
I'm just kind of saying.
As you wish.
And that sounds a little bit more like an oyster situation for a beer. I guess I was thinking about the...
Not as elegant.
Everyone has a different kind of
Valentine's. Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people love cocktail sauce with oysters.
Maybe there's some very interesting craft beer that you want to have...
there you go.
That would work out pretty well with the oyster, with the bourbon spike cocktail sauce.
Personally, I do like a drop of Tabasco on my oysters. It depends on the oyster. I mean, you know... If it's a good southern oyster, I'd definitely want to drop a Tabasco on there. A little lemon juice, maybe, or just straight out of the shell. But sauce mignonette is a great way to go, which what you were saying, the traditional sauce is roughly cracked black pepper, finely chopped shallots, and red wine vinegar. That is sauce mignonette.
Yeah, and a little chive.
Yeah, and a little chive or, yeah.
And all I did was sub out the black pepper for the...
Ginger.
A little bit of fresh ginger and just gives a little bit different perfume.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think oysters are fun. You know, again, you're doing something together, most likely. You know, you're working together. And you're getting ready for the next course. So you have something you can play with, have fun with, and enjoy immensely. We love oysters in this part of the country. And there, as you say, there's so many different choices, and we can get oysters from everywhere now.
Those Kumamotos you got recently were great.
Those are mind-blowingly good, and they're also gorgeous to look at.
The best I've had so far all year have been Raspberry Points, which are from way up north in Canada, from St. John's Island. And, oh, my goodness, they were great.
I mean, you can even buy what they call locals, which are really good. So
they can be quite delicious.
Yep, absolutely.
When we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we'll see if we can get past first course. On a Valentine's program, all of that and more on WIPR.